It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, we had a misstep there, and you get caught up into this, but I have some observations that were for Friday, August 10th, 2012, that I recovered some documents here. And this is written by the Elections Commission and informed the county clerk that she had changed the route, time and load schedule for some of D.C. teams. This is during that primary in the Big Island. As the state enters into the contract with the transportation vendor, the state was not informed of the changes made to the routes. The clerk was informed that she had authorized the changes. The state would not cover the personal vehicles. There are so many broken parts in the primary that the governor should have declared an emergency. And I'm not exaggerating. They knew that it was that bad. They knew. Then they rescinded it for the general. And at October, they are then asking, and they rescinded or basically revoked some of the rights or the privileges that they had or activities that they had, the county had. The state revoked those or rescinded them. So you then, within, by the time they responded, they may have had 15 days on the Big Island to fully prepare. And this is why it did not go smoothly. This is why I'm saying that it is a cover-up, because this office, the elections office, failed and failed miserably. And again, while we might argue that thousands didn't lose their votes, we don't know. We really don't know how many lost their opportunity to vote or were defrauded or interrupted or prevented from voting or having the votes count. Again, I'm going to try and read a couple more there, because some of them are just scary that they would allow this to go on. I was not aware of the reserved ballot boxes when DC team came and drop off ballot box. The pink seal was locked on the box, but when we opened the box, one of one, the ballots that were in the box were not in plastic or were not wrapped in plastic. Only two packs was in the box, Marks went on. Talked to control center about the ballot box, but no solution offered. Another at the tennis stadium, vehicle outside the parking stall with bumpers on it. We found the driver. I'm going through this document here. Crystal, emergency ballot bin seal number does not match. Call control center. We'll get back to us later. You see a lot of this, we'll get back to us later. So here you are. How are you going to vote if the ballots don't match and the control numbers are not matching? Crystal Miranda did not have seal on it. Again, call control center to report the incident. This is what this speaks to, is the security of and the integrity of the voting process. Anyone can stuff the ballot box if the seals are broken. Did anybody break them on the way to and stuff the ballot boxes or the cans or trade off with voting? Who knows? But I'm not speaking from a sense of paranoia. I'm just sharing with you that if these rules are in place and we're paying people and there are statutes and law, and then we drop the ball, something's wrong. Here's one ballot booth missing at Kalanaioli Elementary School on the Big Island. How do you come up with a ballot box missing? I mean, didn't somebody look at the polling place and know what? Here is at Pueo Multicultural Center. DRE voter unable to complete her vote on machine. Issued paper ballot. Time and time again, but they didn't have the people there to help run the ballot boxes in the machines. They didn't have passwords and codes and what have you, and some of them were not working. And again, This is what another gentleman says at Puyo Multicultural Center. First, lack of communication from election control office. Second, gave us precinct officials but do not show up. Third, first time that the governor extended the poll closed. He is reminding, and nothing was done. No one was told that until later in the day, he's complaining. This election from my 20, he talks about, was the worst. And again, no tags for poll workers. Michelle, phone, there were several numbers and then given by the headquarters. Phone numbers are busy. This, it repeats itself over and over and over. Imagine there was one where they don't know how many spoiled ballots occurred because they didn't have the proper instruction and what have you. There were others where they would push the button as a Democrat, and in turn it would show up as Republican candidates would show up. But they're not telling us this. And in Wykale Elementary, at 7:45, it was reported, lots of spoiled ballots. Notice that ballots didn't have part shaded, reminding voters to shade the party. So voters to shade party. They didn't have the clear instructions, as some of the people working at the facility report. Open polls, steps displayed a time on S-scan, E-scan machine, 615 Russell Cell. Anyway, it just goes on, and there's a log of problems. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
A comment?
Yes.
How's it going, my brother?
Yes, how are you?
Pretty good. This election, man, just made me almost flip out. You know, I live in a district where they redistrict it. You know, they change it around,
mm-hmm.
reapportion it, whatever the words are. And they send me some information that's saying, okay, this is where I'm supposed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I went, all right, I went down to Kahalu and I voted. That was in a primary. So in the general election, I go, okay, they sent me a new thing. Now, this is a new place to vote and a new candidates. Before I was in one district and then I was in another district. So when I went down to the party golf course, and they handed me the thing, and I go, this is not my district, ma'am. I have already voted one time in the primary in the other district. Now, how can they do that? And to me, from the primary to the general election, change where I vote, unless they're just totally a disarray.
Mm-hmm. Stories after stories, and I don't believe that it's going to be any different when we look at this new report when it comes out. But you know, here's an example. One of the complaints at Na'ehu Elementary School was that a couple of people complained about the DRE booth being out in the open. Needs privacy. So you're standing there voting and people could actually see who you're voting for.
Yeah, that's why it was in a party golf course too, you know.
Oh really?
You're out, well, if somebody walked right by, they could see, you know what, the big screen is right there in front of them too.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, my thing was, when I went in there, I fought them for like 15 minutes. I'm going, sir, you're stealing my vote. I voted already one time for a candidate in the primary, and now you're telling me I have to vote for another person in the general election.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, they had me over on the side there, and they got a big crowd around me and stuff. I'm going, hey, you stole my vote. I can't vote for the person I want to vote for.
Wow.
And they couldn't come up with the answer. They tried to show me this letter. That, you know, because I live in Waiholi Valley and it has a bunch of turns in it, stuff, you know, the forks. And so one time they told everybody on the certain numbers you would vote on this side. And now they switched it on me. So, I talked to Jessica Williams. She was the one I wanted to vote for. But then I had to vote for somebody's body that I don't even know. You know what I mean? Is there any way that we can get up a petition to renege, well, not renege, but make this vote invalid, you know what I mean? At least in my place, you know, in some way, shape, or form, because they switched the candidates on me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, well, thank you. Again, yeah. You there?
Bobby's question is real bad.
Okay. Well, I can hear
you. I have one other thing. Is there a way? I have a nephew living with me, and he's been gone for a couple of years, and they keep sending me his voting stuff. So I wrote him a letter one time, please take his name off the ballot, but they won't accept that. That person had to come in and do something. And I went, ma'am, if he's not here, he can't come in and do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's just wasting paper. You know, I just wonder how much waste is going on in this election. These people that run this election, somebody's really looking to lift up the covers and see what these people are really doing.
Well, that's why
I know it's a big job, but, you know, if we can get some more people I definitely want to do some research if I could be called on, because this has got to end. We got to have a good, clean election that everybody is satisfied after it's done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Well, thank you. Aloha. And anyway, here's another one. Mililii Halau. Darlene,
thank you.
All right, thank you. VAO 7 a.m., no official list of registered voters. This is at one polling place. Then at another polling place, Ho'okena Elementary School, no passwords for the machines. Another one at Ho'okena was that open poll at 7:29 a.m., due to late DC delivery and missing passwords. The reason I'm going through this is to share with you that they just told us the Kawauchi opened them late. There were some polls open late. But there were other things attached to that. Even when they did open them, just because they opened the door, a number of them weren't able to vote because they didn't have the proper seals, the passwords. Some of the machines didn't work. The printing device didn't work. So they didn't tell you the whole story.
Hello.
Go ahead, Marcia.
I am, even though I read all of this, hearing it, I'm spellbound. Mm-hmm. I'm just spellbound. And listening to your last caller, that makes no sense. None of this makes any sense. And it all, if it's not a conspiracy, it is a total incompetence from the top down, and all of them need to be replaced. That board, the commission, sat there like this was all brand new, that they didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't read anybody's testimony. They hadn't gotten letters that were sent. I don't know what's going on, but I think that the whole thing needs to be, they all need to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
And if the voters are going to have any confidence, and like this gentleman said, that's not the candidate he wanted to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
How could that happen between the primary and the general? And in that area where he is, where he voted,
mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a real Donnybrook.
Yeah.
That was a real mess. But anyway, that's...
Let me ask you this, so that I don't exaggerate this, overstate it. A polling book, that is the book that you sign,
mm-hmm.
when we walk in and that you show your ID or whatever the process is, and you sit down and they take a straight edge, and you find
yes.
your name and you sign. That's the polling book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Diane Quiddiquit at Kahakai Elementary School, at that polling place, she writes, at 7:30 a.m., still waiting for poll books.
That means that she does not know if you are registered in that precinct.
And that
how
means...
How can I let you vote if I don't know that you're in the right place?
But you're supposed to sign that book,
you're
right?
You're supposed to
even
sign.
If she... knew if she you can't sign the book if it's not there. So it's this kind of behavior.
Well, that would hold up the voting entirely.
Yeah, exactly.
Entirely. So, nobody could vote if the book wasn't there. And
mm-hmm.
We're back to so many of these problems go back to who was packing all this stuff the day before.
Yeah.
To
well,
send it out.
Well, we won't know who they are. What I do know is that Scott Nako is the head of the, is the CEO, and the Bill Martian is the chairman. Neil Abercrombie is the governor, And the legislators should be downright mad now, blowing their top. And none of this subcommittee, substandard, subhuman approach. This is just a bit of lying, thieving people that are sitting here playing games with the public's trust. And I wished I had more kinder words to say, but it's Sunday.
There are no kind words.
And again, here's another one. Gentleman came in to vote at Kealakeha. His name wasn't in the book. Called control center several times. Long wait, no answer. Central did not pick up. Voter aggravated, left without voting.
Well, there was one area where Senator Inouye, Lorraine Inouye, she said in a public statement that she lost by 40 votes. And
well,
the
good.
Area that was late opening was an area where she was strongest. And those people come early because they have to go to work. And you know the distance you drive on the Big Island is considerable. And she said that that's the reason she lost, because her people showed up and couldn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
how do you make that person right? How do you make that person
who? Well, you don't.
You can't.
Well, you won't, and I wouldn't raise an ink pen to help her make her right. She's a senator. She's part of this democratic process, and if she can't find it within herself to stand up, and she was directly impacted by it, I'm going to approach it as the whole process is corrupt, and her reluctancy and failure to act in her own best interest is furthering the problem. I'm just saying, you don't need to speak to it. It's just that that's my opinion. You know, I'm sharing with you that if Lorraine Inouye lost by 40 points, and she know there's some trashy behavior going on here, if she's not, doesn't have it in her to speak up, then what is she saying? Well, I better let the big boys do their thing and the cover up and steal from the people and lie to them, even though I'm impacted possibly. But here's another one at Kona. Let me finish here.
Okay.
Kona Palisades Community Center did not receive number 2 precinct can. Therefore, no poll books till delivered at 7:53. Even though this gentleman had opened on time, when we opened the polls right away, turned away 17 people. Most came back later to vote. Most. What's most? So what's the most of 17? You follow?
Oh, yeah.
So apparently either 8 of them, I don't know, but again, add them up.
And House votes, because that's usually in the primary, that's what you're talking about, a House vote. They win by 5 or 6 votes. It's not like it's a 100-vote swing. The House votes are really close.
Yeah.
And so if you lose 17 people, that's the difference in winning and losing.
Yeah. Well, we're all losing at this point. I don't want to fragment this to one. You know, that's probably, we can do another show on that one. But right now, I'm concerned with focusing on what is Bill Marston, the Danny Youngs, and the committee and the commission and the subcommittee and the governor and the politicians. Why aren't they standing up and speaking out on this? Why are we, this thing is being partially and superficially attended to through some articles or some, maybe one rare letter to the editor?
Well, first of all, again, back to the Democratic Party. You wrote our complaints to the Democratic Speaker of the House, Calvin Say, and to the President of the Senate on the Democratic side. We wrote to Sam Sloan and whoever the Republican is that appointed these people. The only person that showed up, the only person that said heads have to roll, was Sam Sloan, the Republican. That was my complaint with the Democrats. Where are these people? Did it mean that they won so they're comfortable? They don't need an investigation?
Yeah, well, it means that their party is in control, and it means that if they want part of the loot, they better keep their mouth shut. That's what I go away with thinking. But again, here's another one, speaking of DRE privacy issues. They located the voting machine by the door and ballot boxes. Can see voters' choice on screen because no privacy curtain behind the chair. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
And again, sort of malfunction. Voter selected Democrat but saw Republican. Call control for directions because VOA in charge of DRE was not in the area. Found out voter can go to previous screen, but should have scrolled down through. I mean, we had issues where we talk about this conspiracy on the machines and how people can manipulate. We haven't even made it to that subject yet. So if they're doing this overtly, what is this voting process? We need to reevaluate and reassign. And this idea of going to the governors, I don't believe. I think the governor engaged in kind of a half-assed process. Was that what he did was to take this, and because of the PLDC, and this is my take on this, he was getting hammered on the PLDC. And he said, oh, well, we should come out with more absentee ballot or vote by mail. Let me tell you something, folks. What the governor should have said is that, though we don't have any money, but I'm going to take money from the bottle bill. It's so important. We're going to divert that money from the bottle bill or the tire bill or the garbage bill, and we're going to hire independent investigators to find out what went wrong. Anything less than that is just nonsense. That's my take on this. This is why it's not what was done. It was what is not being done that lends itself and suggests to me and allows me to, in my own opinion, to say that there's a cover-up and a big one.
Well, there is no doubt that there is a cover-up. And I will be the last person to defend the governor, because as the governor, all of these things, all these missteps that any agency of the state, the buck stops with him. He is supposed to know. And if he doesn't know, why doesn't he know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the appointing authorities, the legislators, as I pointed out, the House, the majority in the Senate, Calvin Say, and then the House, they get to appoint, and then the Chief Justice get to appoint. If it's not appointed in a certain time, the Chief Justice appointed Danny Young in the first round. So my question to all parties is that when will we hear the announcement that there is a full-fledged investigation? To leave Scott Nagel in place is an insult and an assault on the common decency of the people of the state.
Well, the whole commission,
mm-hmm.
all of them, they sat there looking blank like this was the first time they heard any of this.
Mm-hmm. But don't you like it?
No.
don't you like it? I mean, you've been around the horn a couple of times here. But it's unsettling, and it touches you when you hear a person, especially like this gentleman and this lady, that remind us that, my parents were in the civil rights movement, and it's like, are you patronizing me? This isn't about me. To tell me Martin Luther King was your hero, then darn it, get off your seat and take your shoe off and throw and hit Martian upside the head when he say that we're going to and publicly announce that we're going to have a subcommittee to investigate it, but I didn't give him a single nickel to investigate. But
well, and then one of your own to investigate you? Come on.
Yeah, so...
And that's absurd.
Well, even to talk about the great absurdity is that while I'm sitting there attempting to exercise my right as a free citizen to speak and testifying off of my opinion, I'm being attacked and obstructed by one of the commissioners, whom I defer to the commission chairman, who then looks at me like, well, you know, it's, you know. But here's the greater insult. during that meeting, present is the Attorney General, deputy, because each commission has one assigned, what have you, and for advisory. That Attorney General should have told, I shouldn't have had to remind Marston. That Attorney General should have stood up and reminded them or intervened to say that this is a public process. While you may not, if you find it to be tasteful, you have to listen. He has that right to speak. But even that process was tainted.
I don't know if he ever identified himself.
He don't need, just trust me, they're there.
I know they are, but I just wondered if he never identified himself, he was even being there.
Yeah, well, they're there. And again, Marston has an obligation to the public, too, that his committee persons, those that are participating, don't become so unruly and interfere with the public's right to testimony. You know, I could see if he was going to say, well, you know, look, Mr. Cox, you've extended your time. But to give an idea, the Elections Commission's minutes, so some of the people that have heard a discussion about how many people were impacted and how many voters are there. Now, on May 30th, 2012, Commissioner Masanaga expressed her appreciation for the preparation, these are minutes now, of the election primer and asked if the number shown on page 1 is the number of registered voters in Hawaii County. It was clarified that the number shown is the population census number for Hawaii County. She then asked, if we knew the total number of registered voters for the county of Hawaii, CEO Nago noted that the estimated number is around 101,000 people. Now, this is May 30th, and we're going to have an election in August for the primary, and he's still talking about the estimated, okay, and in that county. Commissioner Suarez asked what the estimated number for Maui County was, and it is estimated that there are approximately 85,000 registered voters on Maui. CEO Nago also noted that there are approximately 40,000 registered voters on Kauai and 464,000 on Oahu. I offer that to show that if you don't think that a cover-up was in the works here on Oahu, especially, and we had a big rail, there's somebody giving orders behind the scenes, folks. Nago is not going to go to that extent, and with all these broken pieces, and is allowed to get away with it, and no one is concerned.
Well, there are too many broken pieces, like you said, and there should be more concern than just us.
Yeah.
And there should be, but looking at the newspaper and the Star Advertiser, the articles were so poorly written that you didn't get a sense that there was any outrage.
Yeah, the AP doesn't even suggest that there were anybody there other than Kawauchi.
Yeah.
You know, but that's their paper. That's what they do. It's their business.
But they are in support of the rail, so.
Yeah, the newspapers are, so they're not. But I would offer
people that were impacted weren't there either.
Yeah, well, let's be fair and say that they weren't there because they, in the newspaper, offered that it would be the week of the December 10th. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, special interest people that were watching it got a notice that it will happen on November 27th. So I believe that in itself was part of this conspiracy. You don't want people to come in masses to, and you hold it at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and then when you want to talk at length, this is what they tell you. Well, you know, we all have airplanes to catch. Well, that told me that you didn't come to hear the masses speak, because if you would have, you would have taken the time off and scheduled this meeting where you would stay over, and you wouldn't be holding for an hour and a half, and then proclaim you got to go catch a plane. So that's telling in itself how they arrived. And we don't have to be rocket scientists to figure this out. It's the inactions. And when he was so quick to say, well, you know, we're not going to stay around long because we're going to have the executive session because we have planes to catch. Well, you manufactured this date. You didn't come up with anything of an emergency. You deferred and decided to have a subcommittee composed of people that have already been informed. So,
and the news the day before on the evening news, they talked about going to have this hearing and what was going to be discussed,
mm-hmm.
which was not on the printed agenda.
Yeah.
If you notice, the news was different than what was on the printed agenda. Yeah.
And I would submit this, and this is speculating, but based on, I have submitted letters to the editor, and they don't go reported or reprinted, a great many of them. So there may be, like fish going up the stream,
mm-hmm.
there may have been 20, 30, 100, who knows? But it's the screening, and it is that, well, we don't want to have that. We Stevie Wonder concert is bigger, better, and you know, and what have you. But when it comes to the voting, they don't want to get into that. But come Martin Luther King Day, oh man, you're going to see Dr. Martin Luther King wiped his face with this napkin and did this. But I have a little message for everyone. If you believe in Dr. Martin Luther King's actions, he didn't just do it because it was a one-day thing. You have to be vigilant. And so when you see a Marsha Joyner walk into a room or Carol Cox speak, it's not a black thing, folks. It's your thing. And that's what we say in the South. It's going to impact you because the government needs you like they need poor black people to pay those taxes and to control. Because if they don't have you under control, they can't bring in trains, super ferries, and all of the other things and the wind machines and the wind generators and take an island and occupy it and develop without consulting or getting you or feeding you GMOs. So if you think that it's about Martin Luther King, then I got a little word for you. That's why you can't get GMO laws passed, because guess what? The people that screwed you and finagled their way and fixed this voting process and conspire against you are the same people that don't want black people to vote.
Well,
that's
right.
So I got a message for the guy that sat there and goes, says, yeah, Martin Luther King is my hero. Well, then you better incorporate that into your everyday thinking, because it doesn't just start with the people that seem to have a shade of a skin color darker. So for those of you that haven't come to the 21st century, you better wake up. It's well, the voter now that is to be manipulated.
One of the things I think you should tell your listening audience, the reason that he said Martin Luther King is my hero, I said that all of you know Martin Luther King as I Have a Dream. Well, there was more to him than that. And that he was one of the 8,000 people that crossed the Pettus Bridge that got beat up on Bloody Sunday for
mm-hmm.
the right to vote.
Yeah. Let's take this call. We'll go ahead real quick.
Go ahead. No, take your call.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Thank you very much for taking my call. Please, this might be strange coming from me. Never apologize about your criticism. I sustain, believe in, have experienced exactly what you're saying on a different agenda. And thank you so much, and thank Marcia, and God bless you all. Thank you so very, very much.
Okay, well, thank
Aloha.
You. Aloha. Go ahead, Marcia.
Okay, well, we were talking about Bloody Sunday.
Well, let's not give the whole history, because we're coming down to go ahead real quick with that.
Okay, and so we were talking about Bloody Sunday, and it was after the president, LBJ, watched these people being beat on television and one young man killed, that he said, okay, we've got to pass this Voting Rights Act now.
Mm-hmm.
And he did within, that was in March, so with July they passed the bill, and he signed it, and he said, we shall overcome. And that's very special, that this man, this Southerner, would watch this, watch these people getting beat and killed, and said, no, no, that's enough, stop. We have to have the right for everybody to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't now not deny people the right to vote.
Yeah.
We cannot.
Well,
and whatever I have left in me, I will stand up for the right to vote.
Mm-hmm. And it impacts if it's an issue. When I saw the League of Women Voters there, I thought, okay, that's good for a start, you know, and because what'll happen is that someone is speaking out and an organization. But what is noticeably missing was the NAACP and other organizations. And so I don't know. My suggestion is that you might want to divert your donations, because it appears that whatever they got, partying with Smokey Robinson is more important than running down to the commissioner's meeting or having a comment or a letter to the editor or an op-ed or something. Where are they? You know, again, if any of you are offended, you can call my doctor. He's pretty good at prescribing medication for troubled people. So, I don't have any sympathy, not in this day and age, as we see our rights whittle away. Women's rights are threatened, even by the Democrats, because if you get people in, they're hell-bent on putting a train in, they forget all the other issues, whether it's gay rights, as I've said, or whether it's the handicap, whatever the issue is, if you're able to manipulate a voting process for an outcome that you seek as a special interest, then we're all threatened. I wished I could read you a quote or something, but I don't bother with that, you know, because we might end up getting someone crying and calling up and saying, you know, Martin Luther King, he's my hero. Well, he's my hero. Every time I see that picture, I'm motivated to look over my shoulder and follow what he said, you know, that we're all threatened, basically, if we can't see a democracy function and flourish. And it's threatened when we see this behavior. And we need the governor to stand up and pronounce or announce that he is calling for a major investigation, an independent one, because I will. And I won't fault the people for not showing up, and they're probably tired. There's so many tricks that they are exposed to these days. They're just, the grind has just gotten them down. But we'll keep a watchful eye and see what happens. So anyway, anything in closing real quick, Marsha?
Well, thank you. Thank you and your listeners, because I know they're out there. And again, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, all righty. Well, thank you. And let's stay in there and let's file complaints, and they'll, at least they'll have to answer those, huh?
Okay.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, folks, if any of you, I just wished, I know a lot of you are listening, and I know that, as you, some of you say, you don't bother to call in because you don't want to interfere with my flow. But I do appreciate you listening out there. But if you understand this process and what is really occurring, you'd have to laugh just to keep from crying, because when you walk in that room and, you know, I'm looking at some of the state workers that are there, and I'm asking myself, why do they need to be here in support of NAGO? Why aren't they somewhere in their office working? NAGO should be able to, they weren't called on for any testimony. And so this process, this group of people called the Elections Commission, I don't know who assembled them, but I do know that they seem to be more leaning toward covering up, stalling, obfuscating and taking their time, because they don't want the truth to get out there. They've already had enough truth that they could have made decisions, fired people, replaced people. They could have done that long time ago, and it was presented to them. When Scott presented, Nago presented his assessment of Kawauchi, Kawauchi also rebutted a great many of the things, and some of the things were in the hands of the commission. And they did absolutely nothing. So when this general election comes about, blows up in their face, they are doing absolutely nothing. But again, you can go to the website, carol@carolcox.com, and you can see these documents. And I do apologize for being all over the place with you, but I didn't know how else to present it other than to just show you that the intent was to share with you that it's broken. There was intentional behavior going on. Kawauchi, I have some video of her, and we may post that up later. Here's something that Nago, as of October 2nd, he writes her and tells her that they're going to rescind everything. The state of Hawaii looks forward to working with the county of Honolulu, Hawaii. With that in mind, we wish to inform you of the greater role of the state will be taken in conducting the 2012 general election in Hawaii, the county of Hawaii. Specifically, we are rescinding any prior delegation of state responsibilities to the county of Hawaii for the 2012 general elections. This will provide the county of Hawaii the ability to focus its resources on its core responsibilities. That was October 2nd. And we were having the general election coming up shortly thereafter. So if he wrote this, when did they get this thing together? Why was it that bad that they couldn't fix it? It was worth tearing it apart completely? And these are some of the things. For example, the registering and assigning of voters comes with the associated responsibility to mail voters a notice of voter registration and address confirmation, a yellow card, which inform voters of where they have been assigned to vote to ensure that voters go to the right polling place on election day. Additionally, in order for the state precinct officials at the polling places to do their job, they have to know who is eligible to vote. So he's reminding her all of this information. Yet, they knew that the polling places had no polling books. They knew that he knew through his assessment. So he should have taken this up back in July, when he knew that the polling place, back in August, after the primary, he should have said, enough, we're not going to wait till September to go through. We're going to immediately. And the documents state that. This is accomplished through poll books containing the names of all registered voters. Yet you see in the documents that I read to you, poll books were never delivered to the polling places. So William Marston, Danny Young, and the rest of that crew that calls themselves the commission and the elections commission and the elections office, I think we need a new broom to clean out this old dirt. And I appeal to you just to say, here's the information. And if you don't have a computer and you would like to have copies, I'll be more than happy to put it on a CD. If you just drop me an email or drop me, I can send it to you PDF if you don't have whatever. Or send me to my post office box, 89-4202 Mililani 96789. So send that and just put a note that you'd like to see the documents from the elections process. So anyway, enough of that, okay, and we will be following up, and I will have more to talk about on this in coming weeks, because it's worth watching, and that's about it. But go to carolcox.com also for there's a consumer alert, and just this was sent to me by Stephen Hasaka, an attorney here, and I'll just read to you briefly, and you may not know, or you may, I've shared this with the media, and we'll see. I don't know if they printed it or posted it, but Hawaii consumers file a claim and benefit from flat screen manufacturers' $1.1 billion settlement. Time is running out to file a claim. So, if for those of you who are listening out there, go www.lcdclass.com, and you can file a claim. But Los Angeles, November 28, 2012, 10 LCD flat-screen manufacturers have agreed to pay an unprecedented settlement of $1.1 billion in the largest antitrust consumer class action lawsuit in history. The manufacturers are Al Optronics, Kimmai, Changhua, Epson, Hanstar, Hitachi, Sharp, LG, Samsung, and Toshiba. Hawaii consumers that indirectly purchase these manufacturers' flat-screen products, monitors, TVs, and laptops any time between January 1999 and December 2006 are eligible to receive a payment from the settlement fund. However, they must respond quickly because the deadline to file a claim is December 6, 2012. Stephen Hasaka is the Hawaii class counsel and part of the team of lawyers that obtained the settlement. According to Mr. Hasaka, quote, the class representative for Hawaii is John Okita, a resident who took it upon himself to represent other Hawaii residents more than 5 years ago. Mr. Okita worked with my law firm, Hasaka, Yoshida, and Cosgrove, in providing evidence, giving testimony, and preparing for the trial, which was to take place this past summer. This is an opportunity to get back money which you overpaid for these products, so don't miss out. San Francisco co-led counsel Joseph Alioto says, quote, this history-making settlement could not have been achieved without the participation and cooperation of the local consumers like those in Hawaii. We applaud and graciously thank them for standing up against corporate giants, end quote. To file a claim, go to www.lcdclass.com. It's a quick and simple process and does not require proof of purchase or receipts. So guys, you can get your money back. So, and it does not require proof of purchase, but it expires December 6th. So get moving, and you can go to Carol at carolcox.com and see that, and it'll get you through the day. And there's a little justice to sound like, right? But this is what is going on within the city. And again, I was going to share with you about the Humane Society, and I talked to you about it. But next week, I'm going to try and put together something for you on this. And Bill 57 didn't pass, but I'm going to be attempting to try and put something together so you can make better decision as to who you donate your money to. So I'll see you next week, and take care.
Everything gonna be all right. Oh, yeah. When I was a little girl, only 12 years old, I couldn't do nothing to save my doggone soul. Ball of fire. I'm a woman. make love to a crocodile. I'm a woman. I can sing the blues. I'm a woman. Change old and new. Spell W-O.
Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again.